This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing. Woo!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wheeling, dealing, limousine right, jet flying, son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube as we are every single day.
Hello.
Good morning to you.
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
I'm
going to
do a live Great Notion pregamer tomorrow morning.
A live Great Notion pregamer. Mm-hmm. Live on Instagram?
Well, I'm going to do it day of.
All the socials?
Instead of waiting around
you
were
looking live.
Well, Swag's got to do it because Jake's leaving town.
Yeah, we got to actually do one morning of the show tomorrow.
So let's try our first one tomorrow morning.
Live.
Yeah, I'll get in here bright and early.
We're here on a Friday. We're ready to rock and rumble.
Yeah.
Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. Tiger fans are asking for a shout-out, saying, hey, don't forget about us, Detroit Portlanders. Look what our Tigers are doing.
Yes.
So good for you,
Tiger. The pride of Matt Boyd.
The pride of Matt Boyd. Off to a good start this year. Playoff team last year out of nowhere. The Roar Boys. We love Detroit here on this show. Tonight, we will get to a little bit later on in the final hour.
Timberwolves and Warriors.
They play tonight, game two of that series, live in Minnesota.
He's a me, a Mario.
I wanted to ask a question, though. So we're talking a little baseball stuff here on the show. Just kind of, you know, mixing
it
up a little bit.
I'm floored.
I mean, it's that time of year,
I would
right?
have thought you came in with like, hey, according to CBS.com, these are your top Mountain West college football teams.
I mean, hey, we can do that segment if you want.
Dan Mullen's ready to win. Did you know that?
I did know that. He's been a good coach most of his career. Are we paying attention to what Aaron Judge is doing?
Yeah.
Not enough.
I've seen his numbers. They're pretty stupid.
Ridiculous.
I'd say pretty stupid. On the year, he is first in Major League Baseball in batting average. He's hitting over 400 over a month into the season.
Unlike the rest of his team.
He is tied for first in home runs with 12. He is tied for first in RBIs with 34. And he is first in OPS by a wide, wide margin. Just to give you a perspective of how much he's carrying their offense, the Yankees have the highest batting average, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage in all of Major League Baseball this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you took Aaron Judge off of their team and then just compared their numbers to the rest of baseball, they would be 14th in average,
wow.
11th in on-base percentage. They'd still be third in slugging because they hit at a softball field. Sorry, Ryan Cooley. It's just remarkable what he's doing. He legitimately, look, I think every caveat you throw at a baseball conversation this time of year, and we all do it, is yeah, but it's May. I got a long way to go. But I'm just wondering, like, how long into the year? This is almost one of those, like, when you're watching a guy and there's a no-hitter going, like, at what point until you're like, dude, you're giving up it. Like, three innings in, you're not going to say anything. It's whatever. No. Happens all the time. Five innings in, six. At what point do you say, oh, something's happening here? That's my question about a guy. We've seen somebody win the Triple Crown. Miguel Cabrera did it a couple of years ago, and he's got a legitimate shot to do it again.
What year was that? Because we say a couple of years ago. I feel like it was longer than a couple of years ago.
18?
18-ish.
Was it 18? I was thinking like 16.
He beat Mike Trout. Oh, God.
It's like 14, right? 13?
It's 2012.
Wow. Yeah, you know what's funny
about
that?
It's all a blur. That seems like it was 5 years ago.
I know, and I don't blame you for saying it the way you did, but what was funny when he said 18, I'm like, I remember vividly, I was on the 50-yard line at Reser Stadium waiting for, I think, spring practice to end, and it was me, it was Mike Doc Parker, it was Steven Nelson, and we were all debating how cool this was going to be if this
if
dude
he
could do
did
it.
The Triple Crown, because it had been forever since we had seen it.
Yes.
How long into the season for Aaron Judge until we start perking our ears up and saying, does he have a legitimate chance to hit 400?
If he's still going at this pace, so the Yankees visit the Dodgers the last weekend in May. And okay. All those games. One's on Apple TV, one's on Fox. Then they got the ESPN Sunday night game.
World Series rematch, Yankees, Dodgers.
If he's still over 400 and he's leading the American League or all of baseball in home
runs, that's when it becomes a story?
Then you're going to get bombarded with it.
I got to go much later.
Much later into the year?
Yeah. He could have a bad series against the Dodgers and then get back into 400 in the next series.
Very well could. It could go up and down.
It is pretty crazy what his numbers have been.
I mean, he's absolutely mashing the baseball.
He had 114 ribbies his second year in the league, right? And then he trailed off a little bit, okay? And then he got to 98 in 2021, 131 in 2022.
Since 2022, you can make an argument, his last 3 years, he has been the best right-handed hitter in the history of baseball.
He's certainly in the, yes.
Like, he's in the last 3 years, what he's done, you can put that with all-time greats, all-time historic. He is one of the best hitters in the history.
311, 267, 322, and currently 400.
Yes, he's not just hitting for power.
I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player already.
He's using both sides of the field. He is an unstoppable force.
He's a two-time MVP, a six-time All-Star, four-time Silver Slugger, Rookie of the Year. Like, the dude is a Hall
of Famer. He's
got to
get
a little bit
more protection, or he will start getting the Barry Bonds treatment, and they will just
start pitching around him.
Walking him.
Should be illegal.
I do find it interesting that he...
I hate that.
It's like the Hack-a-Shack.
I hate it. I mean, it's no different than what that ref did in the Celtic game yesterday. When a guy gets bodied on a dunk the way Derek White did with OG, give him the block.
Yeah.
Give me that hip thrust. Make them review it and change it. That's automatically a block. That's too good of a play to call the other way.
It's interesting, though, because to me, I will ask the question, because we do this a lot with stars. Like, we'll do it with Tatum and Brown. We did it forever. Like, stars in the NBA, quarterbacks in the NFL, you're held to a certain standard. And I wonder how much, and maybe this, I'm not in every single bubble, so it's hard to know exactly what people are paying attention to this time of year.
Especially in baseball.
Especially in baseball, right? I'm wondering how much of this maybe not being a bigger story has to do with how bad he was in the playoffs last year. And when you're the face of the New York Yankees, you're held to a standard of what?
Like, no, it's only the playoffs.
Championship is like, it's Mr. October and Mr. November. And like, that's what matters. And in the playoffs last year, he was 9-for-49 with only 3 home runs and 20 strikeouts.
Yeah.
And he could not hit water if he fell out of a boat.
Am I wrong in saying Stanton might have been better in the postseason?
Oh, without a doubt, Stanton was better in the postseason.
The only thing helping,
the outfield.
And I'm wondering how much, and then he had the gaff in right field. Yeah. Like, that's where. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he's got to overcome, and maybe that was his last.
Guys have done it and then come through. A-Rod did this famously. He was a terrible playoff player forever, and then he was big in the World Series that they won.
Paul Goldschmidt has been the one guy that's protecting him the most.
Yeah, Stanton's out of the lineup right? He's still banged up. He's not even in.
You might be right is the conversation not being generated enough with these numbers because of that? I would maybe argue because of other stuff. ESPN bailed on baseball.
They did.
Now, they still have it, but they don't cover that sport close to what they cover.
No. They used to have their Baseball Tonight show as a nightly show.
So, like, on a day-to-day basis, I'm getting my highlights if I watch SportsCenter, but also it's not a priority for them. You know what is? The NBA playoffs right now. The NFL draft just happened and trades are going on. Hockey is in their playoffs, so you get some wildness from the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, they're airing those games,
too. They're airing those games.
And WWE?
WWE is taking absolutely.
I mean, they're covering WWE more than baseball.
The morning show before us, I swear to God, they're on a week straight where I'm getting 20 minutes of WWE conversation, and I'm like, it's all scripted.
Hell in a Cell!
I don't know what you're talking about here, but that's fine. Cover WWE if you want. And then I'd even throw, college football will once in a while pop up. I don't know if it is just the playoffs, though. I think it's because the other stuff is more important.
Just overshadowing it right now.
The biggest sports network currently going on.
Interesting.
I also think that sport's funny in how we create narratives. Bonds and Rodriguez struggling in the postseason in their careers was certainly a narrative, but they were also so damn good that it didn't feel like quite the level of narrative the way we do it in the NBA or with quarterbacks.
It was never the same.
So I don't know if it's a combination of coverage sucks versus playoff narrative, because my history says baseball doesn't operate that way. It is like, oh, he wasn't great last year. Yeah, but he's mashing 400. He's tied for the league in homers. Yeah. He's on track to have 100-plus RBIs again.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's more the media landscape than it is playoff demons.
Let me ask you this, because we've seen some cool stuff happen in sports over the last handful of years. LeBron breaking a record in the NBA that many viewed for a long time as untouchable. Ovechkin, Canadian legend.
Same thing.
Alexander Ovechkin. All-time Canadian, breaking the Gretzky scoring record. Another great Canadian. Great Canadians everywhere. That was a record for a long time that we looked at and said, nobody will ever touch that. And then he kept doing it, and he kept playing, and he kept playing, and he kept playing. And here he is. He breaks a record. Where on our pantheon of, oh, my God, would a player hitting 400 be for you? It has not happened in Major League Baseball since Ted Williams in 1941.
Yeah. Gwynn never did it, huh?
No, I remember.
And the last time a guy in the National League did it, you're talking New York Giants in the 1930s.
That's how long it's been. Gwynn?
Gwynn came close.
Gwynn and George Brett. There was a summer when both of them in the 80s were flirting with
it. 380s, 370s?
They were above 400 into late July, early August, I think. And they were still, you know, 390s going into late August, September.
Well, I think what's interesting here, Dirt, is not to change this again. I'm fascinated by that. Batting 400 would be insane.
Like, that's just
I've never seen it in my life.
Well, and then
I didn't. Tony Gwynn was amazing.
He came really close. He hit in 1994. He hit 394.
Yeah.
In 1980, George Brett had a year where he hit 390.
Yeah.
Rod Carew had a year in 77 where he hit 388. Like, there's been guys who have flirted with it. But the funny thing is the Ted Williams story, famously, if I remember correctly from his like old documentary stuff, was they had a doubleheader on the last day of the season, and he was like right at 400.
Yeah, he could have sat.
He could have sat
and won it.
Just said, I hit 400 on the year,
because
he could go 0 for 8.
But he's a goat.
And didn't he go like
he went like 7 for 8 and ended up hitting 406 on the year. He's like, dude, I'm not sitting down. Screw this. And he did it.
After being a war hero.
You're damn right. Just an absolute badass.
Teddy ball game.
Teddy ball game is a badass, dude. He's a badass.
I mean, I think the thing I'm not trying to change the topic. I think it's big for sports fans. I think people who don't even really follow baseball that closely anymore, we're sports fans, right? And some of us are just really football fans, but we won't say it out loud to ourselves. But like, yeah, you get into September and you're telling me this dude is at 400, hovering close.
Or 390 or 392. Like, you just got to be in the ballpark of it to keep you around. Because any game you go 3 for 4, it's going to jump up a little bit.
Well, how do you think people were responding to the home run season a couple years ago?
Yeah.
We laughed at the record notion of like, well, it's the American League record.
Yeah.
Right? The way they were framing it. But you still would tune in to see him mash a home run.
You would.
So I think people would follow it. What I worry about with baseball is if you're not really a diehard fan of a team, I just worry what their next media right deal is going to be.
And how closely you're following it, yeah.
There's been no real intel on that. And if it's not on my day-to-day ESPN,
it has to be.
Where is it at?
Yeah.
And will I consume it? Will I seek it out? Because outside of my extra innings package for the Braves, I try to keep up here and there, but I don't know everything that's going on at all times in that league.
It can be complicated. 1994 is such a wild season in baseball. First time without a World Series in, you know, forever. I believe Griffey was on track to break the home run record in 94.
He was on track to
break it. The Expos could have won the World Series in 94.
Best team in baseball,
would they still be in Montreal? Mm-hmm. What would their future have looked like? And that was the year that Tony Gwynn came close, and the strikes shortened season. They played 110 games or whatever it was before the year ended. He was hitting 394 in 1994. All the things that we potentially could have lost. Nobody knows how it would have ended, but still, it's wild that he was 394 that late in the season.
Well, I think, I got to be honest, what's wild to me, and Swag is a diehard baseball nerd, it's wild that Swag is like, this gets my attention in a Dodger series in May.
Yeah.
Don't you wait longer before this is like 400's a real thing? There's so much time between May and the end of the season.
Well,
it takes a 2-week slump and you're done.
Well, he's what, 420 something now? Or
he's 400 on the dot right now.
Oh, okay.
He's at 400 on the dot. Yeah.
We'll see if he I mean, if he dips below, if he's still there, because at one point he was like batting like 435.
5 days
something.
Ago, he was at 434. So he's yeah. already, I mean, this early in the year, you can swing.
But once you get to the end of
that
May,
bats,
once you get to the end of May, you've played a third of the season.
I know, but 400 to stay at 400.
No, I know that, yeah. but. You've played enough now where
there's a big enough sample size.
Yeah.
What's like, his BABIP though?
I mean, you got to look at the BABIP. There's actually, I mean, there's a lot of nerds who are putting, I mean, his runs into like all time, you know, his WRC plus, you know, whatever, you know.
I mean, I tell you this, basketball did this to themselves too, and I still think that they from time to time do. There's just too many analytics.
Yes.
People don't know what all of these things mean, and like they, you explain it and it's still like,
yeah.
Okay, the exit velocity with balls through second base is the percentage, and that means...
And anytime I look at that, the question I ask is, okay, what does it measure on when I'm watching a game? What is it a measure of?
You know what I care about? Batting average, homers, ribbies, and hits. There we go.
Stolen bases. I know how to quantify all of those.
Make stats great again.
Not what his batting average is on balls in play. What?
Like those stats are for the teams. Those stats should stay internal.
You figure that out in contract negotiations? I don't need those numbers.
Morang will do that in hoops. He'll just like give me all of these numbers with analytics that I never look at. And I'm like, I just want to be like, is this good?
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is good.
He's shooting 32% from three, so does it really mean that much? I don't know. I'm kind of confused right now. Last thing on this, then we'll move on. It's been enjoyable baseball talk with you, bros.
I got to be honest. I'm in.
It's kind of not, like, it's just, you know, little curveball at you. I think what makes this, not to take away anything from guys in the past, Tony Gwynn's one of the all-time great hitters, if not the greatest of all time in terms of average. What makes it stand out, and a listener pointed this out at the fan text line, what he's doing in an era in which nobody's doing it is bananas.
Yes.
Like nobody.
Well, at that size, too.
At that size, too.
Six,
like
7.
I think as of the last time I checked, and we can double check this, the last time I looked, the league average, like for every, the collective league average, this was like 2 or 3 days ago, was around 239 or 240. And he's hitting for, like that's for all of Major
right
League
now,
Baseball.
So the league batting average is 243.
243.
Woof.
So below 250. That's your. What was the league batting average in 1994?
I got it right here. Glad you asked. 1994.
Had to have been two.
What's your guess?
255.
I'd say 263.
Dirt wins. 270.
270.
Wow.
Yeah.
God.
I mean, that used to be the way guys used to. Hey,
what
I'm going
to
pepper
sport?
The ball between the third baseman and the shortstop and hit a base. Like that used to be baseball.
What's the year you think it took like a huge drop off to where we're at now? Can you pinpoint the year? I can.
When did the fall off begin?
Like where you would say, so it's 270 and 94.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just assume it goes down naturally. What's the year you think it went, they're not hitting quite the same?
2013.
Okay.
Oh, I think it was before that.
So 270 in 1994, it dipped into the 260s. 2011, it went from 262 to 255.
Yeah.
And it's gone nothing but down.
Nothing but down
except
since then.
The 1 year of 2019, they batted 252.
Look at us in 2019. Way to go, baseball. So I'm just curious how many people are paying attention to it. Aaron Judge is on a historic pace. It's been fun to watch. The Yankees are mashing.
What's the answer to that poll question? Are you following Aaron Judge, yes or no? It's got to be an overwhelming no, right?
Probably no.
Like,
probably
breaking news, Aaron Judge is good at baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that movie before because he's been good for the last handful of years. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting just to keep in the back of your mind, to Swag's point, is it end of May? Is it later than that? At what point is this like, hey, this is becoming a national story of what he's doing? And maybe he falls off and that's not even a story and it's a forgotten topic, but just curious where people were at. Hey, you know what fixes our problems? Committees. We got another one next on The Fam. All right, we'll dive back into some NBA playoffs coming up bottom of the hour. Somebody text an in-fan text line, 503-864-6326.
Yeah, what did we get wrong?
People asking different ones. I'd have to go back and look at all the players. Somebody asking if Wade Boggs flirted with 400 in
a
year.
I'll look up Wade Boggs. Give me a second.
Gary Sheffield, did he flirt with it 1 year? John Olerud was guest as a guy. Do you remember a good John Olerud year?
You know, I actually don't have in my brain, and I probably have this wrong because I was a little younger, I don't have Gary Sheffield as like the type of Wade Boggs, Tony Gwynn guy. I have bat ripping and roaring pre-pitch.
I think you got to remember
one out.
Well, he's probably closer to Judge in that regard because he was a power hitter.
Wade Boggs, power hitter. Best career batting average. God, Wade Boggs went out on top, dude. His last year in Tampa is 99. He was batting 301.
Wade Boggs has some legendary stories.
The beer stories are legendary indeed. Yeah. His best batting average season, care to guess?
365?
Let's say 372.
Swag almost nailed it. 368.
368? Okay.
Great year. 1985, he batted 368. 357 after that. 366 or 363 after that. And then 366.
It's chicken.
In 88. That is a...
It's chicken.
God, 349, 361, 325, 368,
what happened to the sport I love, dude?
363, 366, 330, 302, 332... Man.
Yeah.
The good old days. By the way, Gary Sheffield twice hit 330. That was his high water mark.
Wade Boggs, a wagon.
Wade Boggs was a wagon.
All-time stash.
In more ways than one.
When you could get paid hitting the ball the opposite way.
That's all you needed to do.
God, I hated him in that 96 World Series.
Find a hole, man. Find a hole. It's all you got to do. So those were a couple of guesses. And then somebody saying, hey, a guy hitting 400 on May 8th is a giant nothing burger. If he's flirting with 400 at the end of August, then okay.
Yeah, look, it's not a nothing burger, but I am with them of... When we get to August, September, if this is happening, yes.
Then it becomes a bigger story.
It shouldn't be. See, that's the thing. I know that those seasons are long. Basketball gets this a lot. I know the seasons are long. It's not a nothing burger.
Sure.
You don't
it's
get
not
to
a
May
big deal 8th. Yet.
Well, yeah, but like you don't get to May 8th batting 400 and it means nothing.
We're over a month into the season.
It's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive. You know, I've long said about college athletics, many people complain about the state of the sport, the NIL, the money being spent, the players transferring. It's in a really bad spot right now, Brandon Sprague. I'm not sure if you're aware of this.
I'm an Oregon State fan. You don't need to talk to me about the position the sport is in.
I have often found that if you're looking to solve problems, you know what you need?
Yeah, I know what you need.
Nick Saban.
Committees. You need committees. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's have a committee on the committee.
It's Trump time.
To find a committee. To think about the committee.
A blue ribbon task force.
Let's get that's exactly how we solve a problem in this country.
Okay? I need a major.
Let's all get together, sit down, put our heads together, and accomplish nothing but pretend like we're doing something.
On this blue ribbon task force.
I love. So this is so funny.
A billionaire is going to fix it. Don't worry, guys.
Trump gave the commencement speech at Alabama the other day. He was down in Tuscaloosa with Forrest Gump, and Nick Saban was also there. And apparently, the two afterwards had a powwow about the state of college athletics.
Do it in a state that didn't vote for you. Be more impressive.
The funny thing about all this is Nick Saban. I don't know if you guys caught this in the NFL draft. He bitches all the time about tampering and the portal and guys getting money and all this. He openly admitted to doing it to a player.
Yes, he did.
Who was drafted,
yep.
Who he said, when I was at Alabama,
the LSU tight end.
We tried to get him in the portal every year or out of the portal, I think is what he said. And then people looked it up. The kid never entered the transfer portal.
Yeah.
So he literally admitted live on ESPN covering the NFL draft to tampering with this kid every offseason. But, of course, he never paid anybody.
Rules for thee, not for me.
We always did things above board, so I'm going to run this commission to figure it out. The other irony in this is, you know who's going to be the other co-chair of this committee?
Well, everything in America is solved with billionaires at the helm.
The guy who's funneling $40 million to Texas Tech's football team, a Texas billionaire by the name of Cody Campbell. So Nick Saban and a Texas billionaire are going to sit down in a committee. Don't you worry, Bob. We're going to solve all of our problems.
Because things in this country are being so well run for workers by billionaires. That's going really well for us.
This is going to end great. This is how we fix things, man.
How
hopeful are you for the future of college athletics now?
I mean, I'm always going to remain hopeful because eventually it will sort itself out.
Yes.
But this was just hilarious of who's running this. It's Nick Saban and a billionaire.
The Nick Saban bitching tour is starting to get a little insufferable for me, as if he didn't pay players under the table for generations at Alabama.
Well, that's what made Gillis's appearance on that show so funny, is he basically called him out to his face. And
yes,
he
hated it.
He couldn't really do anything because he was on live TV. I think he would have wanted to punch him in the face.
I think he would have. All 5'5" of him, he would have been very upset about that. And the irony
What did he call him? He was wearing that hat.
Alabama.
Alabama.
No,
Indiana.
Alabama Jones, I think he called
Alabama
him. Alabama. He looked like Alabama Jones over there. And he said, Notre Dame's competitive because we're finally doing what the SEC's done forever. They're paying guys. And Saban just lost his S, man, as if he never paid a player a cent under the table. It's just laughable in modern college. We just had guys come because they wanted to go to the NFL. That's the only reason they ever came to Tuscaloosa.
I find the whole, like, Nick Saban obviously is the GOAT in that sport.
Sure.
I just find, like, every time we get in a position or that sport's been in these positions, it's like, how do we fix this? And here comes an ass-kissing coach. Well, I'd let Nick Saban do it. Okay, James Franklin, thanks.
The funny thing is nothing will ever get fixed in college athletics until you acknowledge that they are employees. And that's the only way to ever solve it. Like, you want to put a cap on how much these guys can make? Good luck. How are you going to get that through?
I mean, I think in predicting some of the stuff we did when USC announced they were going to the SEC, I have no problems making predictions of how I think this is going to. I just don't think you're going to have kids in schools anymore. They're just going to wear the jersey.
You're an employee of the university.
You're just an employee. Yeah.
That's the way it should be treated. If you want to take some classes while you're here, take some classes while you're here.
If you don't, like,
you're a paid employee. Yeah. You have a contract. Yep. You have to fulfill that contract. You can have a union. You have to be able to collectively bargain. That's the only way you're ever going to solve this thing. And until you figure that out, nothing else matters. But none of these guys will propose it because it takes more power away from the coaches and administrators and put it into the hands of the kids, and that's what they don't
want. Would love to see them, like, just one, embrace it, but also get a handle on the portal. It's the one kind of old fuddy-duddy part of me of all of this. I'd have no problem with kids making money. They should. But I don't blame fans who also are frustrated because it's like, who's on my team?
I get it, man.
It's too much.
I get it. Well, the fandoms will always be there. You always have the passion, but it's in a weird spot right now. But don't worry. The committee is coming to the rescue. Nick Saban and a Texas billionaire will solve all of our problems. We have a Thursday mail sack question I want to get to next that a listener keeps asking about. So we'll dive in. A random Thursday mail sack.
Boy, this must be a big question.
It's an interesting one. And I will get to some of the do's and don'ts in public in this setting.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll get to it because I don't want to derail what you have planned. You're a great show host.
Thank you.
You are valued.
I appreciate that.
We care about you.
You better care about me.
Jeff Russ, top five cereals and him having an opinion on cereal.
Jeff Russ' opinions on everything are bad, and cereals might be his worst opinion of all of them. His TV show takes are bad, his movie takes are bad, his music takes are bad, and now his cereal takes are bad.
Also, shaving the mustache. Bad choice. You look better with it.
He looks better with facial hair.
He's one of those guys. He looks great with a mustache.
You gotta have it. You gotta have it if you're Jeff Rust. Mm. Said he went full bald yesterday. It's not a good look. We'll get to his cereal takes as well. Hey, the NBA playoffs are continuing. All of that still to come. Yeah, people saying there's more to the story about the security beating up the drunk fan. I know there is. The guy was a belligerent jackass, and that's why I'm on team security guard. But go watch the video. It's pretty wild. I think he was yelling at a female security guard.
More story you shared that you didn't share.
I mean, I literally said that he was being a belligerent, drunk a-hole, and he got beat up.
People calling out for your storytelling, man. And
people are clearly wrong on all of their calling out, because that's literally what I said in the update. Did I not? Can we go back and check the tape?
I'm not wrong. All of you are wrong.
Can we check the tape? Did I not say that I'm on team security guard here? He was being belligerent.
Are people saying you weren't on team security guard? I thought you could make that clear.
People are saying there's more to the story. I think he was being a belligerent, drunk fan. I hate what security guards have to deal with.
But
I
looked into the story to see if there is more to the story than even you knew.
You're insufferable.
Well, I didn't text in.
Let's get to this. We have a listener asking about for a 20-minute segment on concert etiquette.
Oh, concert etiquette.
I went to a concert at Moda last night, almost threw people off the 300 level, this listener said, asking, can we publicly execute people who film the entire concert on their phone? Is that allowable?
Now, is this from Tuesday, or this is literally for today because the concert was yesterday?
This is today. The concert was last night.
Okay,
so who was at the
Moda
Center? Who was in town last night?
I have no idea.
Concert schedules don't register for me.
Like, a lot of concerts, they say you're not allowed to, aren't? Isn't that still a thing?
I don't think that's a thing.
Wait, what are they?
I've never been to a concert where they told you can't. This isn't the Masters. You can't take your phone out. I wish it was that way.
It's not a stand-up comedy tour where they make you put it away.
How much better would concerts be if you couldn't have your phone with you?
They would be so much
better. They'd be incredible.
Disturbed.
You don't need your phone.
The sickness.
Down with the sickness.
Yeah,
you would know
25th anniversary tour.
Look at Disturbed going still tour city to city.
So that's kind of a So what's the question exactly? The
basically,
etiquette?
It sounds like, I'm assuming, now connecting dots here, that this listener was at the Motor for the concert up in the 300 level, mm-hmm. wanted to throw people off of the 300 level, I'm assuming, because in the follow-up question is, can we publicly execute folks who film the entire concert on their phone?
Yeah.
They're just people standing up, phones out in front of you the entire show.
I'm weird with concert etiquette. I don't think I go to enough, but I would say I don't understand why people do that.
I don't get it. I've maintained this for a long time, that I probably have videos of concerts on my phone, and I have never once gone back and watched it.
Yeah, but like, aren't you are watching and listening to the concert, but mm-hmm. when you're recording, you're also keeping track of where your camera is, right? So you're not really enjoying the show.
Well, you're not immersed in the moment.
And if I'm in the 300 level, I'm not needing to stand up at that point. So if somebody's above me and they've got it raised over their head and it's in my way.
Boy, I wouldn't want to stand up there.
No, you'll tip over.
I fall down.
Get a little vertigo.
Yeah, I just...
I would be on an usher and it's like, I'm going to break that guy's arm if you don't get him to put it away.
Somebody said, we can't publicly execute them, but we can pull a pirate's usher and pull the belt out on him. Yeah. There you go. Just flip your...
Sit your ass down now.
Well, I mean, obviously we're addicted to these little devices, but if I have a moment or an event where I don't have to use it at all, I'm so happy about that moment.
Yeah, anytime you don't have to use your phone is a good moment for me.
And part of going a concert, so I'm assuming that wasn't a cheap ticket, right? Getting down with the sickness on the 25th anniversary tour.
I would think so.
Even being in the 300, I bet you that person paid more money than they would have wanted to, but it's one of their favorite bands, so hell, yeah, let's do it. I don't understand why people pay so much money and then they want to show other people they went to it. It feels like it's
that's
like
what it's for. It's just
an
for the
exclusive.
Clout.
I was at this. Yeah. I can talk about it, but you didn't see it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're recording an entire concert too, like, dude, you realize every band has a live concert that you can go watch on YouTube whatever listening app you have. You can go find a live album and listen to it where the quality's good and it's not cell phone quality the 300 level where mm-hmm. you can't really hear what's happening. So you're not doing it to go back and watch the entire thing.
Is there a money-making enterprise from
doing it? No, there's not. By the way, a listener pointing out, Swag not realizing that every concert has about half of the attendees filming the concert on Snapchat. Chat and Instagram is the oldest thing you've said in a while. That's a pretty old thing to say.
Whatever. Not why I go to concerts.
No, I mean, that's the point. I agree with you. I have been yelled at a concert before.
I'm trying to look at a concert at the Moto that I'm going to anytime near.
Yeah, anybody interested in coming to town?
The Wu's coming back on July 1st.
Oh, there you go.
Wu-Tang Forever. Barry Manilow's still doing it.
Barry Manilow's still around?
July 16th.
You're going to see Barry Manilow?
The missus says, yeah, we're getting tickets. We're going. So
I did. So I can't remember the venue. I'll have to ask my buddy. This was years ago. I came back to town. There's a country artist by the name of Josh Turner. Neither of you will know that name, and that's fine. But we went to a show. It's kind of a smaller venue. Ended up being an all-time night, but at the concert we were sitting in, it's one of those like kind of old, smaller venues, not like an arena or something, you know. And we were standing up watching the show in the upper section, and we got yelled at the entire time by older ladies.
Really?
Yeah. I was a young, drunk idiot, so I was probably in the wrong
standing,
as I look back. But
standing,
like,
you want to stand for the little concert, go on the floor.
Yeah, go on the floor. If you're down low,
seats,
then I understand.
Seats are not for standing.
But if you're
the
in an
time.
Upper deck, stand and cheer when they come out, and towards
there's some
the end,
songs,
if there's an encore.
You know, some songs we all get up.
But you don't need to stand for the whole
but
concert.
But if it's a lot of slow, I mean, in her defense or the old lady's, it's like a lot of slow country. You know, it's not boot scooting boogie here. We're not getting down.
Ice Cube in September. Linkin Park's coming back. Sans their
Linkin
lead singer.
Park coming back.
If you're into Nine Inch Nails, they'll be here. Ooh. August 8th. You know, I'm looking at the rest of the schedule. Hot Wheels Monster Trucks might be the most exciting
That's
thing.
That's the biggest thing coming to town.
Bigfoot coming to Portland.
Are you telling me? We haven't had a big concert in a while. Somebody said he went to see, where did this go? I went to see Dylan at the Schnitz,
mm-hmm.
and I had to lock my phone up for the show. I wish that they were that way.
I think the Schnitz and Keller,
they make you do it.
They have policies.
I know
that
the touring Broadway productions make you put it away.
Yeah.
It was either
like literally you can't have it with you, or if it comes out, you get
pocket.
Kicked out. Yeah.
If they see it come out, an usher will come find you.
Yeah. I just, every time I see a big sporting moment, I feel this way too, like a game winning shot and you look at the crowd or a game-winning kick or whatever, and it's just everybody.
Are you not going to remember? I mean, you were there for Lillard's bye-bye to the Thunder. I was there for the point .9.
Now, that's
I'll never
different,
forget
though.
That.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you. I will say, though, on the front end of that, I did have my phone out for it. But I was also working, so I posted it to social media.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a difference
if
there.
If I'm not working and I'm like in the 200 section, I'm at this game, yeah, my phone ain't out.
And if you want the social media clout, do like it just, hey, quick photo. Here's where I'm at the game, baby. On my
I was
Instagram
just trying
story,
to give
like,
the media section.
I'm here. I'm ready to
level.
Go.
This is the, hey, look at what this is.
It's going to be a big game tonight. We're very excited. So there's your, we didn't quite do 20 minutes of the listener's point. There's your thoughts on concert etiquette. Don't film the concert.
And don't stand the whole time if you have a seat.
Yeah, don't, yeah,
go to the floor.
Sit your ass down. What are you doing?
Go to the floor.
Why would you stand up the entire show? What the hell's the matter with you? Sometimes I do get drunk and sing too loud at concerts. That's probably my faux
yeah,
pas.
Yeah, see, I don't want to hear you sing.
I know. You're not wrong.
Thankfully, we were close enough to Garth Brooks where you got drowned out.
Me singing, you couldn't even hear me.
Not
but
really,
I sang
no.
every word of those songs. I was belting it as loud as I could. Blame it all on my roots.
Because the night before, you were stuck in the 300 level.
I hate you.
You need a country Brandon to help you.
Let's get to Bad Takes, continued, and NBA playoffs, continued. Wrap it up on a Thursday next on The Fam. Well, a lot of concert takes are rolling in now. We probably should have given that more time.
Can you roll off some?
Somebody said, where did this go? I'm against the sit-down thought process. Yeah, it sucks, but if that's what people can afford and they want to go and enjoy a concert, have fun, enjoy the music, dance, stand up if you want. If you're that high, you can't see the stage anyways.
Oh,
watch
I'm
the screen.
First of all, you can. It's tiny, but yeah, to the point, watch the screen. Look, you
it's
want
a little
to stand
ant
up.
Playing the guitar.
You want to stand up and dance once in a while. Dude, I'm not for that. I'm not going to tell you not to sing even. If I hear you more than the artist, I'm going to be a little disappointed. But
sure, that's not what you're there for.
I get it. Standing up the whole time and blocking the view is kind of what I'm saying, though.
Okay. Why don't you stand your ass up, too?
Well, I've seen ticket prices. Sometimes it's more expensive to sit than it is to stand.
Where else did this go? Same with singing every damn song. Instead of letting the band sing it, that bugs the crap out of me. To that point, I know I do that from time to time. Somebody said, who the hell has time for Snapchat? I go to concerts to get drunk and take all the drugs the band doesn't. Hell yeah, brother. That sounds like a great night. A lot of thoughts rolling in. Let's shame somebody before we wrap up here and get our final thoughts on the NBA playoffs and our quick cup check for tonight.
Yeah.
Jeff Rust has a lot of bad takes. He is the fine producer of our wonderful midday show, Danny and Dusty.
Well, soon to be Danny and question mark.
Danny and question mark. And he comes in from time to time after the show, and he says something that would just, it makes us look at him like he's an alien. Like, just, that's one of the worst takes I've ever heard. And then he finds a way every day
to one-up himself.
To one-up himself. Yeah. And like, hey, you know that horrible take I gave you last week? Why don't I think of a worse take than that and then show you I have even worse takes than that? He sent out I don't know why he tagged us in this. Somehow he got on the thought of cereal. And he sent out a hot take about...
Because he was high as a kite.
Captain Crunch being terrible.
What do you mean? How did he get on the top?
It is horrifically overrated. It rips your mouth into shreds. None of them taste good. And then he continued, don't get me started with Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That's BS. That stuff is ass, too. One of our listeners then responded a cereal take to him, and then he decided to rank his top five cereals, according to Jeff Rust.
Okay.
His Mount Rushmore plus one of cereals.
Yeah.
Number five, Lucky Charms.
Ugh.
Just marshmallows are good. Yeah. The rest of the cereal sucks.
Well, and then they become soggy marshmallows.
That's not good. Reese's Puffs, number four.
Reese's Puffs is good.
Grape Nuts, number three.
I mean,
it's grappling.
I'm done. I don't even want to know the other two.
Do you know how much sugar you have to put on
Thank
that?
Thank you. That's exactly what I said.
I don't
my
even
dad,
want to know
my
the other two.
My dad was into Grape Nuts.
We're just done with the list. I don't even want to know the top two.
I mean, I'm sorry. Look, you can like Grape Nuts. Okay, fine.
Top five cereal is just a laughably bad take.
It's one of the worst takes in top five lists I've ever heard of any topic in my life.
Yeah, it's terrible. You can say, hey, you know, I know it's not a trendy thing. I kind of like Grape Nuts. But to say it's a top five cereal,
no.
Just...
No.
You know what you need to do? You need to sit down and stop filming the concert at that point. You
Pretty
know?
Much.
Top two are Frosted Flakes and Cocoa Pebbles. Those are his top.
He wanted to do two Frosted Flakes. He was like, I was going to do chocolate Frosted Flakes, what I thought. And I thought, what? I'd rather have chocolate Frosted Flakes in my top five than Grape Nuts.
Yeah, I would too. Like, you know, the whole point of cereal, if you want healthy cereal, that's fine.
You want, like, I'm watching my figure, go do your own thing.
There's so many better healthy options than Grey Shots.
Sure, but no. To Swag's point, like, if I need to douse my cereal in sugar, it's not a good cereal.
He did that with Cheerios. He's like, oh, you know, I love Cheerios. Put a lot of sugar on that. And I'm like, well, then what? You don't love Cheerios.
No, that's the thing. Don't. I will eat Cheerios, but I need three spoonfuls of sugar to go on it.
No.
Same with Raisin. I'm the same way with Raisin Bran. If I'm eating Raisin Bran, I'm shoving some sugar in that cereal.
I also think one of the largest lies society is allowed to continue.
Sugar Smacks, damn it.
But sugar, Honey Smacks are good. The Captain Crunch root of the mouth complaint I've heard almost my entire life, and I've also eaten it my whole life, and I've never been like, oh, my mouth has been caught by cereal.
Never once in my life.
I was never a Captain Crunch fan.
It's delicious. It doesn't have to be your top five.
No,
it's delicious.
Know.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch? What? How is Cinnamon Toast Crunch not good?
I mean, it's just a horrible take. But then all of it's one bad take on top of another bad take on top of another bad take.
I was more of a Toucan Sam guy. Give me my Fruit Loops.
It was Toucan Sam? Yeah.
Dude, you could have gone 80 cereals instead of Grape Nuts.
Somebody's saying Rush should be fired for his Grape Nuts take. I mean, we might have to bring this up with the new brand manager.
I'll give you a better one. Well,
I need a meeting.
One.
I need to sit down with him and say, is this a guy I really should work here if you're Grape Nuts take?
He had to do top five Tom Hanks movies, and he had Splash in top five.
He did.
Because he got aroused.
Was Joe versus the Volcano on there?
That'll do it for us, folks. Enjoy your Thursdays. If you miss any of the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan. Oh, quickly, should we build our parlay? Give me Timberwolves, minus 10.5.
Okay. I like the Golden Knights to rebound.
Golden Knights to get a win. I think I'm going to go home teams. Give me Caps and Golden Knights to even up the series. There's your three-team parlay. Can we go 0-3 tonight like we went 0-4?
I'm going to fade you guys.
Fade it away.
Fade it.
Not a bad strategy. We went to Pittsburgh for the Daily Ticker. Go catch that as well. 1080thefan.com. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. Listen to 1080 The Fan.